turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings, chapter 14. And we're going to be reading verses 21 and 22. We have a new king in Judah, and we're going to study about him today. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. Now, a few things here. Azariah is also called Uzziah in Chronicles. It's the same person. Mostly today we're going to be calling Uzziah. Towards the end of the lesson we'll probably come back and mention Amaziah again. But he was 16 years old. That's not very old for a king or whatever. He was a leader, and he did some great things. And we're going to study about that too. He also did some evil things. And we've, many times, like his father even, we see he started off being a great king. And I think he was dependent on the Lord. And, you've got a guy here, 16, he's taken over being king. And I think he knew, especially that as young as he was, he's not going to have a whole lot of experience in things like this. And I think he was more dependent on the Lord then. And then as we read along about his reign, we're going to see that when he got powerful, that's when his downfall came. And he started doing things that were contrary to God's will. Anyway, it says here in verse 22, and he built Elath. Now, Elath is a city, it's a port city, right at the very top of the Red Sea. If you have the little map we made up, it's not on there, but all you got to do is look at the top of the Red Sea, and that's where Elath is. And it's also called Elath, and that's what it's going to be called in Chronicles. It's not mentioned again other than the one time, so it's not something to you really have to remember. But anyway, it says he built it. He took it back from those that had taken it from Judah, and he restored it to Judah. And this was after the king, that's his father, slept with his fathers. So he's getting off to a pretty good start. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles, and you can cut, if you have a little piece of paper or something, hold that place there in 2 Kings. We're going to be pretty close to that again here soon. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and verses 1 and 2. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. So, again, same thing, different name. Different name for the guy, but it's the same guy. He's still, Uzziah is 16 years old too. So, anyway, they made him king in the room of, or instead of, his father Amaziah. And verse 2, he built Elath, or Elath, whichever, you know, it might be, and restored it to Judah after that the king, that was his father, slept with his fathers. So, again, you notice things like this in the Bible, how the Bible supports itself. Now, these are mostly historical things here, starting off. You know, just, you know, well, this is when he started reign, and this is what he did, at least initially. So, We're going to get more into the spiritual side later on. But anyway, turn back to 2 Kings, chapter 15 this time, which should be pretty close to chapter 14. And we're going to read the first four verses of that. 2 Kings chapter 15 verses 1 through 4. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 250 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said I probably wasn't going to do a study on the high places. And I'm going back the other direction now, but I think we're going to wait till we're done with the king. We're not going to be in Kings for a whole lot longer. This has been a fairly long study, you know, but we have a lot to study here. But I think after we get done with the Kings relatively quickly, we're going to do a study on the high places. This was something that was initiated long ago, that they were set up when the people of the Lord went to offer sacrifices and things. They were initially a good thing. And then after a while, after the tabernacle and the temple, they weren't called for. There was no need for them. And still the people used them, and they used them to worship other gods and to do things that they shouldn't do. And we're going to we'll not see a lot about that today, but next week we will. Anyway, let's see what it says here again. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years. That's a pretty long time. Of course, he started off young, so you would figure, unless the Lord wanted to take him out, that that's what, you know, he's going to reign for a good while. And take him out is exactly what happened, what the Lord did. He did something that was absolutely unforgivable. Anyway, his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Now, over in 2 Chronicles, as we're going to see, she has got the same name. So there's not going to be anything hard to remember. As far as I can find out, she's not mentioned anywhere else again in the Bible. Anyway, in verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Again, I figure that he knew he was a young man, didn't have much experience, and he had to count on the Lord. And I think this would pertain to us. You know, when we're first saved, you know, we're babes in Christ, so to speak. We depend on the Lord for everything when it comes to Scripture. Now, a lot of times, you know, you go to the pastor and say, well, what's this mean? And the pastor will say what it means, but it's up to the Bible says that the Scripture is spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit has to reveal what it really means. Now, we can, the elders can kind of give you an idea of what it means, but the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to you. Anyway, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Now, this goes two ways. Amaziah, yeah, when he started off, he did good too. But then after a while, he started doing things that he shouldn't have done. In verse 4, save that the high places were not removed. Now, why, if you look time after time after time, you see, you know, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, except he didn't remove the high places. And this goes all the way back to Solomon. before the dividing of the kingdom. Anyway, it says there, the people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places, and he allowed it to happen. Now, the king has a responsibility to teach his people to do right, and he more or less just let it float. Sometimes there's an old saying that the only thing that has to happen for evil to conquer is for good people to do nothing. And I think we're supposed to point out when somebody's doing something wrong, especially something that would, you know, like a brother or sister in Christ, and you know, there's something in their life that hurts their testimony, and especially something that would hurt the church's testimony. It's our responsibility to take care of that and let them know that they're doing wrong. Okay, go back into 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we're studying on Uzziah's early reign, or Azariah's early reign, whichever book you're in. We're going to be calling him Uzziah here pretty much on, from here on out. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. And again, it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. So it doesn't mention the high places here. Does that mean that something's wrong? No. You don't have to mention everything every time. I mean, it says, you know, this is his early reign. This is the way things started off. It was mentioned in 2 Kings. Didn't need to be mentioned in 2 Chronicles. It does say that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, starting out, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, and he, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, there's a lot in this. Now, Zechariah is not the one that the book is named after or anything. This is a different one, probably a son of, I can't think of the guy's name now, who was also a priest. And anyway, he was killed by one of the other kings earlier on. But anyway, it's, what does it say? It says more about Zechariah here than it does Uzziah. It says, who had understanding. So Zechariah had understanding in the visions of God. Now, it doesn't come right out and say he was a prophet. I believe he was. He had understanding in the visions of God. And these were blessings that were not handed out willy-nilly. There were just very few people received these abilities. He understood what the visions meant. And it goes on to say, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, that's the way it is with us, too. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you're a good Christian and you do the things you should do and don't do the things you shouldn't do, that you're going to drive around in a fancy car, live in a mansion, and everybody's going to love you. That's not what this means. You're going to prosper spiritually. And as a leader of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, Judah prospered. Now we have, I won't call him a king again, I have a few times, but we have a president now that although not a very moral man or anything like that, he has done some good things. God can use whoever he wants to accomplish his purpose. We don't need to think we have the right or the authority to question God. You know, why would you put a guy like this in the office? Because he chose to. To show us that he can use whoever he wants. If we won't get out and do the job that he has to do, he can find somebody who will. And maybe that might not meet our approval, but you know what? It doesn't have to. According to God's purpose, it's going to happen. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We need to seek the Lord. We need to want to prosper. I mean, you know, to be more fluent in his word, to understand, understanding the word of God is, sometimes it's a hard thing. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, the scripture is spiritually discerned. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And if you get in something and you read and you study it and you go back and forth and find out where else it might be mentioned and stuff like that, sometimes you got to work for it. And I think it makes it that much more precious. What you receive too easily, you esteem too lightly. That's another one of those little statements that people made, and there's the scripture that supports that. You know, what you get too easy, you don't hold much respect for. Now, as far as salvation is concerned, yeah, we don't have a whole lot invested in salvation. I mean, it was all of the Lord. But you got to remember, if it wasn't all of the Lord, there is no salvation. And once you know the Lord is Savior, then yeah, you got a lot invested in it then, your whole life. We need to always to seek the Lord, and he will make us to prosper. Not necessarily financially, although that's a possibility. That's up to him. I don't care about money so much or anything like that. He's given me so many other blessings, and I can't begin to count them. Anyway, verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. So he went out and, well, the Philistines at the time were not necessarily a conquering country or anything like that. They were just a thorn in the side of Judah. They were contrary to the teachings of the Lord. And anyway, he went forth and he said, break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Now, he overcomes their major cities, and he establishes forts. This wasn't just cities. These were forts around Ashdod. That was one of their, again, one of their main cities. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and Mahunims. Now, whenever the armies of Judah went out, or the armies of Israel before the separating, the divided kingdoms, when God helped them, they were unbeatable. And whenever they went out contrary to God's will, they couldn't win. But it says here they went out against the Philistines, helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. These are that dwelt in Gerbaal and Mahunims. These are the early Arabs. These they weren't calling Arabs in, but you know, you can look at the word Arabians and you can tell where that comes from, or where the title comes from. Anyway, verse 8, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Well, let's see what it says here. The Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Now, the Ammonites, or Ammon, bordered more along Israel, the kingdom of Israel, than it did Judah. There was a separation there. They were on the other side of the Red Sea, for one, and they were on up north, farther bordering on the northern kingdom of Israel. But it says here they gave gifts to Uzziah. And I think that was more of a protection type thing. You know, I don't know whether they thought maybe that he was going to protect them or whether they were trying to protect themselves from him. It doesn't give enough information to know that. But anyway, it says, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. And this was a long ways off. Egypt was a powerful country. And I think this, although it doesn't exactly say it, I think they feared him. I think he had their respect. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. He prepared for war. Now, there's, I don't know why I'm stuck on the old sayings, this today, but, you know, if you want to have peace, you need to have a strong country. I don't know whether Ronald Reagan, peace through strength. Is that what he said? I'm not sure if that was him or not. But anyway, if you have a strong country, that's when you're going to have peace. And this is what he did. He strengthened himself exceedingly. He prepared Judah for war, even if they weren't going to war. They were ready. They were prepared. Verse 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. So, his father picked the fight with Israel. Israel came down and cleaned their clocks and tore down a 600-foot section of the wall around Jerusalem. And so he goes about to strengthen the wall. He not only rebuilds it, he makes it stronger. He puts up towers. Now, one of my things I was studying in last night said the towers were like 150 feet tall. I don't know how they know that or came up with it, but anyway, that would be a tremendous advantage in that area. And you had a strengthened wall, and he didn't just build a few of these towers. It says he built them in Jerusalem at the corner gate, which was the start of where they opened up, where Israel tore down part of the wall. There at the corner gate and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, or every time it changed direction, there was another tower there. So it didn't say how many, but it was a lot. And he fortified them. These weren't just towers for lookouts. They had weaponry up there. They were prepared. They wanted peace. And they were going to have it. Verse 10. Also, he built towers in the desert. He didn't just stop there. He went on out into the desert, round about Jerusalem. Now, there was a purpose to this, too. And dig many wells, for he had much cattle. Okay. In a lot of countries, now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but France comes to mind. Before World War II, they had this great big wall that separated them from Germany. And they depended on that to protect them from Germany. And what did Germany do? They went around the wall. And after they got around the wall, France had a better army, had better materials, and because they got in behind them, they couldn't resupply or anything like that. So therefore, they were unable to stop them. And so they were chased basically to the sea. Now, Uzziah is not going to fall for this trap. You know, you can have a stationary thing. You know, it's not going to help you out here. So what does he do? He built towers out there too. Now these weren't, like I said, these weren't just tall buildings or anything like that. There was weaponry there. Each one of these things was fortified. And he dug many wells, for he had much cattle. There's a second reason here. You know, he had flocks and herds of cattle and stuff like that, and he wanted to protect them. Water in this area is precious. You don't want somebody to come in from one of your neighbor countries and take over your wells that you spent all this time and money digging. So he had them protected too. There was a tower there. There was a fortified tower to defend these wells. This is both in the low country and in the plains. Now this is back, you know, where the flat lands are. But that's not all. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains. So the places where they couldn't very well have crops or herds of cattle of one kind or another, he had husbandmen up there. This means farmers. They were up there. And then Carmel. Now, Carmel is kind of an unsure thing with me. Carmel is an actual place, but it's also a general place where there is peace and stuff like that. A real city, or it's a general place of plenty. So Carmel is not just a real place, but it's also a descriptive title. And I think in this case that it's capitalized, so I believe this is probably the real city, the real place. And it went on, and it says, for he loved husbandry. Now, I have never been a farmer. I have planted some plants, and some of them actually live. I know it's hard to believe, but one year we planted a bunch of grape tomatoes. And it got to the point where we were taking, when Connie was working, we were taking 2 gallons of tomatoes every night to work to give them away. That's how many we had. Now, I can't take any credit for that. All I did was put them in the ground. Anyway, Uzziah loved husbandry. I think he wanted to be a farmer. Now, a farmer doesn't hold really a high place of, people don't respect him like they should. You know, when you till the ground and you work, from daylight till dark and sometimes past that, you know, there should be a little bit more respect there, I believe. But anyway, these guys, he had farmers in the mountains and vine dressers. They took care of the grapes and stuff. But it says here he loved husbandry. And I don't know in particular why he put that in there other than the fact that, you know, he was going to take care of these people too. He included everybody in his country, you know, his kingdom. He was not doing for some and not for others. Everybody was under the umbrella there. Moreover, verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Now, I'm going to more or less read what I wrote down here, because this is a lot for me to try to remember. First of all, it said he had a host of fighting men. He had a ready army, a standing army, like a fast attack bunch. These were the guys that were going to lead, the ones that were going to be in charge initially. If they had to go fight a battle, these were the guys that were going to run things. And they went to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe. He was the one that directed the bands. And this was, what was a band? Now, I don't know specifically how much a band was or anything like that. It could have been like what we would call a squad, which would be very few people, or a platoon, which would be a good number. Or, you know, bigger, bunches of things, all the way up to complete armies. Now, they called, this an army, it doesn't say army. It said a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. Okay, and then, like I said, we don't know how many these bands were, but if they didn't go out all in one bunch. Now, they went out to protect places, you know, and sometimes, you know, you got to have somebody in place. Now, they had the towers in place. They had the fortifications there. And sometimes, though, the army wouldn't be there. And so they would send them out. You go here this time. And Jael is the one that sent them. Well, you go here, or you go here, or you go here. Whoever he thought there might be trouble, he would send them out. And Maaseiah, the ruler, he was the high officer. Now, Jael had a lot of authority, but it says here he was a scribe. It didn't say he was an officer of the army. Maaseiah, as the ruler, or he was the one basically in charge directly. He was an officer of the army. And he was under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. So this Hananiah was one that dealt directly with the king. And he was under him. So the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of people when you start thinking about an army. But we have what I would call similar things like that, you know, like that we have the SEALs. Now, they're not a whole lot of SEALs. There's a few. And the army has a bunch. It's along the same lines as SEALs. I can't remember what their name is. Commandos or we'll discuss that after the service today. But anyway, they didn't have a whole lot of them here. 2,600. But we got to remember, these were the ones that was elite. They, you know, and so the other men, there was another army too. They were, okay, I'm going to have to hurry up and get to a place where I can stop because I'm running long here. Anyway, these were the ones that were going to be out directing the battle on the field. Verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Now, at 307,500, and it said they fought with mighty power. Now, where did they get that power from? They got it from God. Because at this time, Uzziah was still seeking after God. And it says, you know, that he, as long as he sought after God, well, verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, and he had understanding in the vision. So he was seeking after God. Anyway, in verse 7 also, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwell in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. So, again, he was seeking God's help. And God was helping him. And that's where the mighty power was from. To help the king against his enemies, or the enemy. Verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields, and spears, and helmets, and habergeons, and bows, and slings to cast stones. Now, most of these things you can understand what they are. He had prepared, like these towers, fortified towers and stuff like that. These contained the things that the army was going to need as they went out. And every man had their weapons and their shields. They had prepared for all the host shields, spears, helmets, and I came to habergeons, and I thought, what's that? Well, it's body armor. And I understand that some places still call it that, use this particular word. And bows and slings. Now, if you remember, there was a king earlier on that had a little bit of skill with a sling. So David is the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, they can become a wonderful weapon. Anyway. Verse 15, and this is going to be our last verse for today. And he made in Jerusalem engines. So these were machines of war, invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. When he became strong in his own mind, it was over. He wasn't counting on the Lord. He wasn't seeking after the Lord anymore. And we'll start here next week, Lord willing, and finish up. I was hoping to get a little bit farther than this, but anyway, everybody stay tuned. Pastor's going to have a great message this morning.